Well, first I would like to thank the organizer for this nice invitation. I have changed the title of the talk because I have done like two pieces of work. One was percolation in configuration space, and the other is this displacement transformation. So at the end, we got what I think are nice results on that, so I prefer to focus on this second thing. The work has been done with Luke Redmaker, that is a postdoc here. He did all the theory, and I did the computer implementation of this thing. So, what is that? Oh. It's installing something. Okay, just very briefly, I will talk about the model, how to diagonalize the Hamiltonian, then the properties of this diagonalized Hamiltonian and of the integrals of motion that arise in the diagonalization procedure, and then some preliminary results. Okay, this is, we all know, so in this slide is absolutely useless in this conference, so I just want to study many body localization, as most of the people here, so no need for that. Just to clarify the model, I consider spinless fermions in one dimension. Okay, that's the typical Hamiltonian, disorder energy, transfer energy, interaction. As there are fermions, I consider nearest neighbor interaction, V is equal 1. T, the transfer energy is 1 and is our unit of energy, and the disorder is between minus omega over 2. I just want to pay attention to this small detail because most people in this room use between minus omega and omega. So, but in my community, we always use that, so I didn't want to change all my programs or things like that. So just pay attention that my disorder is double than the one that you think. Okay, just previous simulations. Again, I'm very bad on references, so I decided not to put and not to make political mistakes. So, the thing is, there is, we again all know that. So this is just relevant in the sense that we end up getting integrals of motion. So this is previous work on that. Let's concentrate. That's I was here on sabbatical for a year last year, and then I was trying to do percolation in configuration space. So what my idea was, I went to this to the one electron basis, and then I tried to reproduce with the computer as close as possible the idea of Vasco, Alainer, and Altshuler. So I just tried to see how, when this is a resonance, how it delocalizes in configuration space. And the approximation was that it was percolation theory. But then with the computer, even I have huge computers, I ran out of memory quickly. So I was fighting to get a change of basis of this sort, so that instead of alpha, whenever there is a resonance, I wanted to get this. But that's more, I mean, that's again is the idea that is in the BAA paper. So I was trying to do that with the computer. Then I start talking to sorry. I don't know how to switch this off.
Turn your wireless off.
Yeah. You're right. Well, I don't know how to do it now. Then I start talking to Luke to see if we could get this change of basis. And then he came up with the idea. He went to Europe for the trip. I finished my sabbatical, and then he did completely the theory of how to do that in a very nice way. And then I started implementing the idea, so he put it in this paper, this thing, and that's what I'm going to present. Okay, the idea is what we know. We try to diagonalize the Hamiltonian to try to get into this form where these are density operators, and each of these density operator is a transform with the original density with a unitary transformation, and this is what is called local integrals of motion. Okay, what at the end the outcome is that our method produces a practical way to get these integrals of motion that I think is, there is no equivalent thing. Now, okay, the method, the displacement transformation is this. So we take any operator of this form, so here it can be any number of density operators, and then an equal number of creation and annihilation operators, so that you see this is a very general term, so basically this is equal number to conserved fermion number, and then of course the term in the Hamiltonian before is of this form, just with four of these operators, but this is fairly general. The only important thing is that x cubed has to be equal x. With that condition, then this unitary transformation can be written in this form. And once it is written in this form, we can operate with the computer taking all orders into account. So we are really considering the exponential, and that's important. And as you see, then the density operator under this transformation transform like that. It recover itself, and then it has this and this, that these are just number operators. So this, independently of what is that, this is just a product of number operators. And this is precisely the quantum terms in the Hamiltonian. So the quantum term transform also in this form, so we get again the quantum term itself and number operators. So then the idea is that you can match this with this. Lambda is any number, a real number. So choosing lambda properly, you can annihilate the terms in the Hamiltonian of this form with the terms of this form. So the terms arising from the density operators with the terms arising from the quantum terms. Both can compensate and disappear. And then the way to choose lambda, it's just this, it's just the ratio of the interaction with respect to the energy difference of the sites involved. Here, here I'm just being specific and thinking that there are four C terms. Otherwise, you have to put here the energy difference of all the C terms involved in here. A very nice thing, as this is a
constant that depends on all these indices.
Sorry?
Lambda is not a constant.
Oh, no, it depends on the X. Each operator x that I am transforming away, transforming out, give me a lambda. So there is a complete set of lambdas.
So I should think of this as a telescopic sort of approach where you just, you know, first transform away some terms and other terms.
Exactly. I find a quantum term. I see the one that has the highest lambda. Then I transform it away so that I eliminate the quantum part and transform into classical density operators and so on, and I keep doing this transformation. The nice thing is, as this is an exponential, you see this, there are no divergence. Even if this is zero, I have no problem because this is just p over 2. So really, we have no problem with resonance at all, and that's due to the exponential character, and that's a very nice feature. Okay, as a trivial example, I don't have much time, so you can solve these two particles, the one-body problem, and you can see that the lambda then in this case, you put this lambda, and then you see that the trivial results of one-body physics for two sides is recovered very nicely with this formulation, trivially. But let me just go ahead. So, before was one transformation. The idea is that then we can perform many transformations successively to get rid of more and more and more terms. The thing is, once you transform one term, then you generate other terms. As you can see here, when you transform on X, then if this is Y, then you generate this set. Then the idea is we order the terms by their strength, and we keep transforming all these terms so that we keep eliminating them. Then we do that for all four operators terms first. Then we generate six terms with six operators. Then we can do that. We eliminate all the terms in the Hamiltonian with C three creation and three annihilation operators, then eight, and so on. In practice, here we have worked until eight operators, so we have eliminated all eight operator terms of the Hamiltonian. This is consistent because when you transform away one operator with a given number of a term with a given number of operators, does not generate terms with fewer numbers. So this can be done systematically without having to go back. Okay, so our final transformation is just the product of all these displacement transformations. Just practical implementations. Each layer, I call a layer a certain number to transform all the terms with a given number of operators. So this n is the number of operators. So the time, the CPU time that it takes each layer is like that. Here, for example, this is to eliminate all the four ordered terms. It takes this time, so with a power of 6, and so on. The prefactor here depend on the cutoff, so one have to choose the cutoff. Here is this is the set of lambdas, that, so is, this is V over delta phi for several disorders, okay? And then what we do in this simulation is to, we choose a level here. One thing is that the errors do not depend much on the cutoff, so okay, then we can choose a relatively large cutoff, and the important thing is rather to be able to transform away as many n terms as possible. The cutoff is that which lambda, I mean, we start by the highest lambda, and then, you know, we cannot do all the lambdas there, so we stop at a given time and then transform away terms with higher number of operators that have lambdas, again, very large.
So you're saying you just leave some weak terms?
Exactly. Yes, I just leave them there.
Do you take into account resonances which are far,
Yes, because this is a resonance, and we do the other resonance. We take into account all the resonances.
But two sides which are far from each other are in resonance because the denominator is very small. But between them, there is no resonance. Do you take these configurations into account?
Yes. If this is very small, it will be here, certainly. We calculate that for all the we don't cut in that.
You only end up going to a certain order in perturbation theory, right? So a very long distance resonance, you'll never see it.
No, very long distance, I will see because I calculate them here.
You calculate it for all?
Yes, for all alpha, beta, gamma, of course. I calculate for all.
But you need to generate a non-zero V. You need to go to high enough order perturbation theory for that V to be generated.
You can have
There is no perturbation in hopping, yes. Yes.
Diagonalize, okay.
Anyway,
because that's here. Okay, so first I'm going to analyze, then at the end the Hamiltonian end up in this form. So I'm plotting here, for system size 24, what is the average strength of these terms? The average of the absolute value, because so the average strength decay exponentially, as has been assumed or predicted in several works. So they decay exponentially. This slope basically coincides with the localization length that I can get from the transmission coefficient. So this gives me a localization length associated to the terms in the Hamiltonian. The most worrying thing is that you see these are the terms with 2n, with 3, and with 4. And the thing is that this is the average. So one would expect that this average is much, much lower, that it should decrease exponentially, but it doesn't in this procedure. So as there are many more blue terms than black ones, the total number here is huge. And I'm going to plot that in the next slide. In the next one. So here I change the disorder, and then you see that this is roughly, the slope is roughly the localization, the many body localization length. So this is a fairly insulating sample. And then when I go to the metallic part, then I get a uniform density of terms. These are for four order terms, but all terms in the Hamiltonian behave in the same way. So I just plot that have less noise. So one thing that is that we seem to be able to get to the delocalized regime. With this method, it doesn't seem to be any particular problem to go to the extended space. For that reason, we don't call that local integrals of motion, just integrals of motion. I think that the method can be more general than previously assumed. A very nice thing that I tried to do, but I wasn't able yet, is that as these terms are constant, the Kulomb gap argument probably predicts Altshuler-Aronoff gap. So I tried to get that, but the data for the moment is very noisy. So I will see if before Christmas I can get that for Boris as a gift. I wanted a gift for this conference, but it wasn't possible. So I think that that's very similar to the Sherrington-Kilpatrick gap in spin glasses. So I think that in this classical formulation, Altshuler-Aronoff gap that is valid for a short-range interaction, it will come out of the fact that the Hamiltonian has constant terms. Sorry?
I didn't fully understand. What sort of gap are you looking for?
Well, what is it? It's the gap in the density of a state in the metallic phase.
That's the state
Sorry?
Which operator? Which spectral functions?
Oh, the energy.